This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A new book called 111 West Coast Literary Portraits features rare portraits of emerging, mid-career, and well-known West Coast writers, along with excerpts of their writing. Photographers Barry Peterson and Blaise Enright began photographing writers in 1998, traveling the coast and Gulf Islands, seeking the famous and infamous. They took pictures of writers in their personal spaces, intimate portraits of British Columbia's best, most honored, and as well as emerging literary talent. The book is being launched in Nanaimo at the Nanaimo Museum on Saturday, November 24th. Poet Kim Goldberg has been included in 111 West Coast Literary Portraits, and she joins us in the studio to talk about the book, its upcoming launch at the Nanaimo Museum, and to bring us up to date about her recent projects in poetry.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Kim.
Thank you, Kevin. Very glad to be back here.
Tell us a little more about 111 West Coast Literary Portraits, the photographers, and who put this book together?
Well, this is Mother Tongue Publishing on Salt Spring Island, and Mona Fertig is really the driving force behind that. People will actually have an opportunity to meet her on Saturday if they want. She'll be on hand for the launch at the museum. This book is really nothing short of a landmark in BC publishing history. There has never been a book like this that is, you know, such a phenomenal photographic display of BC authors. And I'm told by both the publisher and the photographer that there will never be a book like this in the future, because apparently it just practically broke the bank and everything else to make this happen. 111 may seem like a fairly hefty number, but if you look at the database on BC Book World of BC authors, there are 10,000 authors in British Columbia. And so this book has basically represents about 1% of people who can be called British Columbia authors. So it is very much a cross-section, a sampling, and it's just brilliant, though, the photos. They're not your standard stand people up against a wall and click away. I mean, every one of us, Barry the photographer, worked with us individually to find out what's relevant to us, what context is relevant. Do we have a particular painting in our life that is important to us? Do we have a particular setting in our life? And he made all of these portraits work in a way that really reflects our part of our own personality and our creative work. So they're quite unique. And Barry himself is just such an old school master. He won't have anything to do with digital, knows nothing about digital photography. So everything was shot on black and white film, the good old fashioned way. And he processed it all in his dark room on fiber based paper. Things aren't even done that way anymore. But for Barry, it's the only way. So it's a pretty impressive result.
Yeah, I saw that there's a description of that. At Mother Tongue's website.
That's right.
Of that
yeah.
process of the dealing with the photographs.
I know.
And I read that the photographers took over 60 of the portraits in black and white, of course, as you're mentioning, in the words of the publisher, to contrast the colorful nature of each writer and to minimize visual distraction
right.
from the character of each. And the question or the comment I want to make is, I'm sure that there are, in fact, some real characters in the mix of 111 literary figures. Tell us about a couple of them, yourself included, which, you know,
well,
we know you're in there, too.
Yes, I'm in there. And, of course, one of the things that's been really relevant in my own life has been, since I live right downtown and I'm walking around downtown, I've just been writing, as some people know, quite a lot of poetry about the homeless population in Nanaimo. So when Barry came to photograph me, I dragged him off to a vacant lot with a no trespassing sign and propped me up on the no trespassing sign for the perfect portrait. And that will figure into a poem I'll share in a moment. But, I mean, we've got Linda Rogers, who is Victoria's former poet laureate, posing in a bathtub. We have another author in a man's dress suit, standing out in the middle of the ocean, holding an umbrella over his head. I mean, there are some zany photographs in here of all types. We've got Stephen Reed, our famed bank robber and now jailbird author, in there with his daughter, and it's a very, very touching portrait. just a phenomenal number of people. We do have at least a selection of 20 of those photos will be on display at the Nanaimo Museum for a full 2 months. So even if people can't make the launch, they can come down to the museum. The photos are right in the lobby, so there's free access. They can come in anytime the museum is open and just have a look at who's up there.
The first time that we spoke with you on People First Radio, and we've had a few conversations with you over the years, I believe the first time we spoke with you was about what you describe on your website as a graffiti-strewn poem diary of homelessness in Nanaimo, BC, where I live. And, of course, I'm referring to the brilliant work you did in Red Zone. Where has Red Zone taken itself and you over the past few years?
Well, Red Zone has done very well, and I've been very happy by that because poetry, you know, is usually pretty hard to raise interest in a poetry book, no matter who's written it. And Red Zone, I'm just delighted to say it was picked up and taught in a number of literature courses at Vancouver Island University. And so that really put it out there. And that was just wonderful to have students, people who probably wouldn't even come in contact with the subject, maybe, let alone the book of poems, if that hadn't happened. So that was great to see that happen. And there's been quite a lot of interest in it and my Red Zone performances on various places up and down the West Coast. So, and I right away I reprinted the book because the initial printing sold out. So it was really more successful in that way in terms of reaching people than anyone would have expected. I wasn't even thinking when I produced it. I was just producing it because it was an outgrowth of my own life and the difficulty I was having internally and emotionally processing what I was encountering every day as I walk around through the alleys, through the underpass. So it came out as poetry. I put it into a book because it seemed logical. I did not really think it would connect with other people to the degree that it did, but it seems to have opened a lot of doors, and people are talking about these issues now.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
A new book called 111 West Coast Literary Portraits features rare portraits of emerging, mid-career, and well-known West Coast writers, along with excerpts of their writing. The book is being launched in Nanaimo at the Nanaimo Museum on Saturday, November 24th. Nanaimo-based poet Kim Goldberg has been included in 111 West Coast Literary Portraits, and she joins us in the studio to talk about the book, its upcoming launch at the Nanaimo Museum, and to bring us up to date about her recent projects and poetry.
Kim, you brought a poem along which does appear in 111 Literary Portraits. Please share that with us.
All righty. The book itself actually just includes the first few stanzas of it because they were just giving us little snippets. I'll just share the whole poem, though. It's not too long. And people may be familiar with this very sad story. A woman exactly the same age as me, 2 years ago, was found murdered and stuffed in a shopping cart at a vacant lot that's literally just a few steps from my front door. And I just sort of connected with her story so much, so close to me in proximity, physical proximity and age, that a certain amount of poetry came forth. So this is for Cheryl Lynn Sim. Night was a vacant lot with a secret. Day was a waffle with blueberry jam. Each lost job, a new bed in the bracken. Nobody knows how to dial a phone. Day was a waffle with blueberry jam. Night was the raccoons screaming again. Nobody knows how to dial a phone. Let's go watch the white-suited men. Night was the raccoon screaming again, collecting her story with purple gloves. Let's go watch the white-suited men brushing some residue into a jar. Collecting her story with purple gloves, the delicacy of each measured touch. Brushing some residue into a jar. Night was the clatter of buggy wheels. The delicacy of each measured touch, known only after all warmth has fled. Night was the clatter of buggy wheels, his steady trudge past summer doors. Known only after all warmth has fled, her empty husk folded in shopping cart. His steady trudge past summer doors. Night was a TV cranked too loud. Her empty husk folded in shopping cart. Yellow tape cleaves truth from dream. Night was a TV cranked too loud. Day was a man out walking his dog. Yellow tape cleaves truth from dream. Each lost job, a new bed in the bracken. Day was a man out walking his dog. Night was a vacant lot with a secret.
That's extraordinary.
The poem itself is a... if people heard repetition, it's a form called the pantoum. That's a Malaysian form of poetry, several hundred years old, and every line in the poem is repeated somewhere else in the poem according to a formula. And so you get this very interesting rhythm going, and when the lines come up a second time in context with other lines, they change their meaning often. It's just it's an unusual form of poetry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, as I focused and listened, I felt very much present, you know, in something. And I asked myself, am I present to Kim's process of observing and hearing about what happened?
Yeah.
Or am I actually present physically around the edges of what happened
yeah,
here?
At the site, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know it's certainly been an experience for me that's been hard for me to disengage from. I am still walking by and through that mm-hmm. vacant lot almost every day, and I can't do it without, of course, reflecting on the whole history of what's gone on there.
Now, you've been involved poetically and politically in a range of projects since publishing Red Zone. Tell us a bit about Art for an Oil-Free Coast.
Yes, that's another exciting one. That will be launching the following month. On December 20th, we'll be launching that here in Nanaimo. And that's just an incredible thing in which 50 of Canada's foremost artists, I mean, we're talking from Robert Bateman to Roy Henry Vickers, all went up the coast, BC northern coast, where the Great Bear Rainforest is, the famed Great Bear Rainforest. They were all sent up on boats and by other means this summer to paint and sculpt for this incredible art exhibit that is also in a book, all produced by the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. So we've got 50 artists, 75 artworks, opening in some huge gala exhibit here in Nanaimo on December 20th. And the best part is all of the artists have donated their works. And so we're talking in excess of $150,000 of art to be sold at auctioned off, and all of the proceeds will go to help protect the Great Bear Rainforest. So it's just a phenomenal example of what creative people can do and what they want to do, and how we can use creativity and all of the arts to actually address the problems facing us today. So my involvement is that the book also features 9 poets, and I'm one of the poets in the book. So it's just been a phenomenal experience. It would be tremendous. Anybody listening is welcome to come, if you can remember the date. It's a little ways off, December 20th. It's a free event. It will start in the Vancouver Island Conference Center, our downtown convention center, with a film screening and some talks. And that will be at 7 in the evening, and then move up a block to Nanaimo Art Gallery downtown for this fantastic art show and the book launch. So it's a big gala evening, free attendance, but you do need to register online to save a seat using this Eventbrite thing. I think people will probably see publicity around that in the month ahead, I would hope.
Kim Goldberg, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll have to leave it there, but I'm wondering if you would be willing to poem us out.
Well, long poem or short poem?
Short. Ask just short.
All righty.
Okay.
Well, I will do my best. This is a poem called, I forget what it's called, but it's about me walking on railroad tracks. In ebbing light, on rain-slick, oil-basted, iron track, laid by men from China in a past century, men handed numbers for payroll names to haul coal, pound spikes, die in lung black mine shafts, Chinaman 71. I can't walk home. Each footfall, moth drops, sure or not, in line or off, into luminous, wind-tossed surf of fallen maple leaves, soft cradle of yellow palms waiting to catch me.
Remarkable. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Kim Goldberg is a poet, photographer, author, and artist who lives in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. You can find her online at pigsquash.wordpress.com. 111 West Coast Literary Portraits features rare portraits of emerging, mid-career, and well-known West Coast writers, along with excerpts of their writing. The book is being launched in Nanaimo at the Nanaimo Museum on Saturday, November 24th. You can find out more about 111 West Coast Literary Portraits at mothertonguepublishing.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.